from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Oakland, where search crews continue looking for remains in a 10,000-square-foot warehouse. Late Friday night, a 3-alarm fire swept through an artist commune in the warehouse, killing at least 33 people. The inferno was unforgivably destructive, and the space has been described as a labyrinth of art projects, making the area difficult to navigate for people trying to escape. The roof collapsed along with the floor separating the first and second floors. The sound you're hearing is of dump trucks on the scene to help clear all that debris so search teams can look for more of the missing. Those teams include dogs trained to smell for remains. It's estimated somewhere between 60 to 100 people were at this party. At a press conference yesterday, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf talked about the ongoing effort to find victims inside of the warehouse.
We are continuing to operate a 24/7 recovery operation to effectuate that removal. Secondly, we are focusing on supporting the families and the loved ones, some who are coming from very far away.
Authorities say victims came from as far away as Asia and Europe. The victims also ranged in age, some over 30 years old, and one as young as 17. One of the people who escaped is 44-year-old Oakland artist Nikki Kelber. She lived at the Oakland Ghost Ship. She says about 25 other people also lived in the warehouse, including at least one person Kelber believes has died. She says the fire swept rapidly through the building.
I was hit with a huge cloud of black smoke that almost knocked me out. That's when the power went out. I scrambled back down to my inside studio, grabbed a headlamp, grabbed my cat, grabbed a jacket, and then tried to get out of the gate. The power was already out. I was grateful that I knew my space. And at that point, I was also incredibly grateful that I was so close to the door. And people were already on the phone trying to call 911. When I finally got outside, I realized the fire department wasn't even there yet, and I went running around the corner screaming fire at the top of my lungs to try and get them out here even faster, at what point I saw someone come out of the fire department and then the door open and then the truck come out.
You said you're grateful you knew your space. One of the things I've heard about this particular building is that it was kind of a maze.
People keep calling it a maze and a labyrinth, and I think they're just trying to place blame on a lot of other things. I'm grateful I knew my own space, because when I had to jump off of my second story, my loft, I had to know how far to jump out over my steps because I couldn't see them. And I couldn't take the time to try and feel my way down from it. I was also, like I said, I really believe that part of the reason why I'm still here was I was really close to the door.
We should know that the LA Times spoke to the daughter of the man who owns that warehouse. The daughter denies that people were living in the building. We're going to step away now for a moment from the tragedy in Oakland to look at other state news, and we begin in Sacramento. Today is the first day of a new legislative session at the state capitol. Two California lawmakers are expected to introduce legislation this morning to overhaul the cash bail system. Critics say it's unfair because the rich get out of jail, but the poor often do not. More from KQED's Suki Lewis.
Many people jailed in California haven't been convicted of a crime. They're still waiting for trial.
All because they don't have enough money to pay what on average is $50,000 for bail. And I think that's wrong.
That's Assemblymember Rob Bonta of Oakland. He wants to shift California away from what he calls a broken system that hurts poor people and costs taxpayers. He says reforms could include releasing people based on risk factors rather than ability to pay bail.
It's going to change bail in California as we know it. And as we know, when California leads, others follow.
But the bill Bonta and Senator Bob Hertzberg are introducing today is sure to face resistance from the bail industry. Jeff Stanley owns Bad Boy Bail Bonds. He argues that having money on the line holds people accountable and keeps the public safe.
I just hope people really take a strong, hard look at what they're messing with and the ramifications that it can have. If you make a mistake here, it can cause somebody in the community their life.
California's reform efforts might also be at odds with the incoming Trump administration. In August, the Department of Justice argued that jailing someone who can't afford bail is unconstitutional. But Jeff Clayton, executive director of the American Bail Coalition, says he's hopeful the new administration will be friendlier to his industry. With the introduction of a state reform bill, the conversation about how California should safely and fairly treat pretrial defendants is just getting started. For the California Report, I'm Suki Lewis.
Nearly a third of California's community college students are either homeless or facing housing instability. It's according to a new report out today from San Diego State University, says KQED's April Domboski.
African American and Southeast Asian students are the most likely to face housing insecurity. Men in particular from these populations are affected most. They're also less likely to ask for help or accept help when offered.
In April, we'll have more about the lives and struggles of homeless college students on a special edition of the California Report magazine out this Friday. We end the show remembering one of the victims of the ghost ship fire in Oakland. Cash Askew was a 22-year-old resident of Oakland. She was also a member of the group Them Are Us Too. In a statement, Askew's record label, Deus Records, said Cash was, quote, without a doubt, one of the most talented and loving people we've ever known. We will never be the same. This is her song, Creepy Love.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
That's the California Report for Monday, December 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.